Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Apart from our ramblings, we were joined by an artist called Paul Melia, who's a decent footballer in his youth.
Yes.
As you'll discover, but he's now very successful artist, isn't he?
Massively
successful. Old mate of Andy's, as you'll discover. Barefoot running, we discussed. Somebody has run the whole length of the country barefoot, and some weird things have happened to him on the way. He explained all the science behind it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think people will have a go at it, won't they?
They might. Are you going to have a go at it?
Well, I might.
Yeah. No, you won't, will you? Be honest.
Well.
There's your answer. So, but you might want to, talk sport listener. So here's all the information you need.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And we're going to talk in detail to Henry Winter about that game last night.
Yeah.
But there was a lack of quality from both sides until McTominay's goal. And this bloke tweeted this thing. And the Argentines have an expression for a goal like that. They call it a goal from another match. I thought, well, yeah, what a good expression that is.
Really? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. In other words, a goal that the match didn't deserve. It was much better than the quality that preceded it. Or, you know,
it was also a goal that looked like it had a fairly hefty deflection and didn't at all.
No.
It didn't, but I couldn't see a deflection.
Kind of odd fight
of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I'd say neither. I know United beat Leicester, but I'd say neither of those two teams are better than Leicester at the moment. And it's hard to see them finishing above
at the moment. Thing for Arsenal, watching them, is that they have got some very good young players coming through.
And they have.
I know a lot of Arsenal fans, you know, you kind of take to social media once the teams are out. And Emery out was trending half an hour before kickoff. A lot of Arsenal fans weren't happy with the lineup. They were expecting to see... they're seeing David Luiz, a lot of them are saying he should go now
for that
alone. But they've got Tierney back.
They've got Tierney to come back. He's still got Holding. He's still got Bellerin.
He wasn't even on the bench, Tierney. Maybe he had a reaction to playing last week. I don't know.
It was good to see Jimmy Nesbitt sitting next to Alex Ferguson. I think, I really was quite jealous. It must be brilliant to sit next to him and watching a United game. You get such an interesting take on it, especially as United are quite ordinary at the moment. I imagine he's not overly complimentary, but there you go.
I don't know. I imagine he keeps his counsel, doesn't he, to an extent?
Mm.
Probably not with Jimmy Nesbitt, who he knows. But you've watched the game. I mean, I've done that a couple of times. When you watch games with pros... They see something different a lot of the time.
With
Cass, watching a game with Cass, and they just highlighting stuff now and again that you see that,
that we
would never see as mere mortals.
Yeah, no, brilliant. He is brilliant. Mm. Now, we should say it's your birthday today. Very happy
birthday to you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I never make the paper.
I've checked it out. I mean, there's a lot of famous people. Harry Hill, the rugby player Phil de Glanville, and Theresa May, for example, shares a birthday with you. Jimmy Carter, Dame Julie Andrews.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of Keith Duffy, a lot of famous people. Sandy Gorn.
It's the ones we've lost, like Walter Matthau when I was a kid was one I always thought was a bit of a favourite.
But I would maintain to the people who put these lists together, you are more famous than Dame Cilla Snowball, the group chairwoman and chief executive of the advertising agency Abbott Mead Vickers. I'd never heard of her. André Rieu, violinist.
Oh, I'm not as famous as André Rieu.
Have you heard of André Rieu?
Of course I've heard of André Rieu.
I've never heard of him.
You must get up quite late on New Year's Day, really, if you haven't heard of André Rieu. He's on his live from Vienna every year.
Is he?
He's a kind of huge pop conductor.
No, I've never heard of him.
Big in the Wars world.
I think
world.
I know who you mean now.
Big
yeah.
in the war, quite long hair. Big yeah. in the Wars world.
Could have used to be bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
Actually, it's me. I brought up the rear.
Yeah.
Mary McFadden, fashion designer. Now, I know quite a lot about fashion, but
you've never heard of her.
Never heard of her. So I'd maintain you're more famous than Dame Cilla Snowball or Mary McFadden.
Didn't make them, though, Andy. I just didn't make the final cut. What are you going to do?
What can you do? Brilliant letter to the, I think it was to the Sun. Yeah, it is. From George Mann. I don't know if you did this one yesterday.
Mann.
He said, it's a bit rich of Spurs striker Harry Kane to criticise his teammates when he's offside all the time. Talking about being captain means leading by example. Is there any player that leads by example than Harry Kane?
Offside all the time.
Why would you publish that? Well, surely he'd come in and you'd go, well, that's ridiculous, and just put it straight in the bin.
The king of offsides, of course. Now, no one will ever touch him. Was our old mate Jermaine Defoe. It was fantastic. I don't know if he still does it at Rangers now. But maybe he plays that a little bit deeper, I don't know. But when you play on the shoulder, John,
yes.
that's the risk you take.
Exactly.
But I've not noticed that with Harry Kane.
And, of course, we'll be doing stuff on the World Athletics Championships. Which is so, if you love athletics, the whole thing around it, what has happened this morning, the empty stage, it's a tragedy for the sport. It really is. And I feel that Seb Coe really has got a lot to answer for. You know, these games shouldn't be in Doha. The next ones are in Eugene, Oregon, which they shouldn't be there either.
Yeah, home of Nike.
It's not right. And I don't think he's doing the sport any favours whatsoever, but we'll have a longer chat about that. But this letter fascinated me from Deno, who wrote to the Star. He said, why are there so many ex-athletes on the BBC for the World Championships? What do you want, ex-rugby players? Two for each race. Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two for each race. And why Yank Johnson? How much am I paying him with my license? Do you mean Yank Johnson, the double Olympic champion, 8 times world champion, etc., etc.?
What you've got to do is to stop going to the Star letters for your opinion forming. That's not the first place you go to, is it? Nobody sits there thinking, my take on Brexit? Oh, no, I'll go to Star letters.
Don't you think this reflects what people think, though? I think that people don't think that.
A kind of microcosm of Star readers think.
Right.
But I mean, and I think you write after letters anyway, so it could well be what you
but
think.
There's another one as well.
Nom de plume.
It wasn't me. I'm not Deno.
Okay.
But then Alastair Stevenson, in a similar subject, wrote to the Sun. He said, everyone keeps going on about Gary Lineker's massive waste of a salary. Well, I don't. But how much is it costing the BBC to have sent a team out to the World Athletics Championships in Doha? Well, because they're covering it. Why do the likes of Gabby Logan so need to be there? Of course they do. What do you want? Should we have no commentators there either?
Well, I mean, you know, she could have done it all from here, but it wouldn't be
as good, would it?
Well, there we are. They're the letters to the tabloids, deconstructed
by me
once again.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, barefoot running. It's not new.
No.
We've talked about it before. We've seen people doing it. There's even the kind of shoes that are almost the shape of a foot that they say. It kind of gives you an idea of what that feels like. But actually running barefoot for any length of time probably takes some doing. So what about one end of the country to the other? That's right, Land's End to John O'Groats. Tony Riddle is doing that. He is he left Land's End about 30-odd days ago, and he's homing in on John O'Groats, and he's done it all barefoot. And he's here to tell us more about that. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Well, most of it. How are you? How far you got to go?
I'm done. I've completed now.
So, congratulations.
We completed last night at 9:30. I hit John O'Groats. I finished on 57 miles yesterday.
That's impressive. So, well done.
We had to make up for a day. I lost a day on Thursday, so I had to complete. I think I did 30 miles on Friday, 47 Saturday, and 57 on Sunday.
Oof. Do you have to build up to this with barefoot running? Because I'd imagine that if you tread on a nail or the ground, there's lots of sharp objects. I mean, how do you avoid that side of it?
Well, first and foremost, you have to work on technique. So we've been almost desensitized in a way from an environment being the shoe and also from a sedentary lifestyle. So two of those mixed together create a compromised running style, which we kind of understand is jogging. Whereas running, when you're really upright and your feet are landing underneath you, you spend minimal time in contact with the ground. So your cadence improves. But because you're upright, you kind of have a much more awareness. And I think if anything's come out of this, it's heightened my perception of environments. I've really tuned into senses more than anything out of the whole experience. So I think running with your head up rather than looking down at the ground means that you get to view everything rather than making short, urgent decisions. It's actually trusting a very sophisticated movement brain to make the calculations for you.
I would imagine when you first start running barefoot, you're kind of running quite gingerly, aren't you? You kind of know, you don't know what's underfoot. As Andy said, little stray bits of glass or this or thorns or whatever, or worse, people not clearing up after their dogs. If you're running around with your head up, I mean, initially you must start, you know, you've got to sort of trust the surface. That's quite difficult because, you know, there's nobody in front of you sweeping it, is there?
No, I mean, first you have to go into trusting the process. And I think that, you know, we forget that we're kind of the descendants of some pretty awesome ancestors that were running around barefoot for 200,000 years. And modern footwear or running shoes only came in 1969. So it's just like a generation of amnesia. We forget what was probably just the biological norm at some stage. However, that's on natural surfaces. And when you're right, when you get to, say, certain areas that I've discovered in the UK prefer to smash glass on roads than other areas. And then it brings in a whole new perspective. And you do have to be more alert, but also I will explain that if you lifted your head up now and you look across the room, you get to see all of the floor. Whereas if you only look down, you only see a meter at a time.
Yeah.
So there's kind of the, rather than looking down with your head, you keep your head up, which enables you to see everything. And then the eyeballs will do their job. They kind of, it becomes more innate. I think we're just these innately wild, connected, empowered beings. And it's just, for me, barefoot running has become one of those things that has enabled me to access that.
So, what state are your feet in at the moment? I mean, considering that you've run all that way, are they in a bit of a bad way? I read that you've got baby soft feet, which I think will surprise everybody.
Mm. Yeah, people are quite surprised. Leading into this, I've been involved with a barefoot shoe company called Vivo Barefoot for a while now, which is about returning the foot back to its natural shape. And then they have a minimal sole, which means you get all the feedback you need. And the beauty of that is you also don't have to worry about the glass and the needles and the thorns.
Yeah.
So that's been part of the rewilding of my feet, being involved with that brand for quite some time. However, when I come to actually barefoot running, you'll be amazed at the adaptation of our physiology over time. You start to develop, rather than hard calloused feet, they become almost soft and gel-like. It's like you have a protective layer. And it's not to say, look, you know, I caught a thorn on day four and it threw things out slightly for me, and then you have to, you know, have to work away at that and try and get stuff out your feet if you have gone over it. But personally, I think once you get, again, you get into the technique and you get into the right shape that you should be performing the task with, and the feet are super strong. I think we also forget how strong our feet are. There's like 33 joints, 26 bones and over 100 muscles, tendons and ligaments just in one foot. And we just lock them away and then desensitize them. So I think there's a lot that we're not tuning into there, but, you know, it's a bit extreme to go and run 30 miles a day for 30 days.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say to you finally, Tony. If someone wants to, someone thinks, all right, I'm buying into what Tony says. I read an expert say it's very tiring and someone doing it for the first time could only do it for 5 minutes. So you've got to ease your way into this running style if you want to do,
especially running on the balls of your feet.
Because
we perceive it's running on the balls of your feet, but actually there's three rocking actions to your foot. So when you walk, you use a heel rocker, an ankle rocker, and a forefoot rocker. And there's 1x your body weight when you walk when you do that. When you run, as in what we perceive as jogging today, there's 2x your body weight. And therefore, you should be landing on the second rocker, which is like being flat-footed, and then going off on the third rocker, which we perceive as the ball of the foot, right? That's the forefoot. And then when you sprint, you should be on your forefoot. So where the misinformation comes in is that when people take it up, they often land on the balls of their feet and they trash their calf muscles and their Achilles tendons. And it is exhausting dealing with that. But actually, when you land more flat-footed and you're much more relaxed and you have the right form, then something else kicks in. But there's something else that we don't really address, and that's things like breathing. So I return back to nasal breathing. And the more I can take things back to nasal breathing, the more relaxed I can be and the more aerobic that movement will be rather than anaerobic.
Sorry, Tony, your first trip when you get home finally is, because we're nearly running out of time, is to go and get some more shoes. So you've gone up a shoe size since you started this run, which is bizarre. I mean, briefly, what is the science in there? How does that happen?
Well, imagine you went to the gym, right? And you worked out in the gym. with two times your body weight on your quads, on your thigh muscles, what would happen?
Oh, of course, yeah. They would get bigger.
Right, and I've got 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments in my feet. So I've been running with two times my body weight for 30 miles for 30 days. What would happen?
So look out.
And they're dashed.
We're going to look out for your eBay account then. If you've got some good pairs of shoes that you've grown out of. What size are you now? What size were you then?
Well, originally when I started out with this shoe fit with Vivo Barefoot, when I started wearing their shoes, I think I was a 43 and I went up to a 45.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, okay,
that's how much the feet grew from being shoe-shaped into foot-shaped. And now my feet-shaped foot, my foot-shaped feet, are a 46.
Wow. Okay. Well, look.
Yeah, amazing.
Some bargains to be had on Tony's eBay
account.
That's
incredible. Good.
Congratulations. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
He also raised about £30,000 for various charities as well. So go and check it out. I'm sure
there's something.
Tony Riddle,
definitely.
All the details will be there of how you can support what he's up to charity-wise. Yeah, you're going to give it a go, Andy? And the old Chiswick footpath, barefoot? Can't see that.
It's difficult, yeah.
You got a thing about bare feet. You don't like them, do you?
No,
don't like bare
not
feet.
So much that. It's more, you know, just the... There's a lot of dogs about where I go for a run.
Don't they pick up around Chiswick? Quite posh around there, isn't it?
What happens is people run with their dogs.
Yeah, and they don't notice the dog's done it.
Yeah, and they just run off into the distance and the dog's just there. And then you think, yeah, thanks.
The producer says there's a lot of flotsam from the river.
Is there?
Yeah, apparently. Have you noticed? What's the nature of this flotsam then? What have you seen there? Seals? Okay, you don't want to know. He says, no, I really don't want to know.
Probably not.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
As a casual observer of the Rugby Union and the Rugby World Cup, one thing I've thought, and I've said it before on the show, about the fact that when they set for a scrum, the clock keeps running.
Yeah.
And it's especially bad at the end of the game when one team's chasing the other team. They get a scrum and then you think, well, that's 2 minutes gone.
Yeah.
You know, and interestingly enough, I know nothing about rugby, but a man who does, a curator of the Webb Ellis Rugby Football Museum in Rugby, Paul Jackson, wrote to the Times and he said basically the same thing. He said,
yeah. Well, I mean, whenever you floated this to rugby, ex-rugby players on the show, no one's really kind of violently disagreed with you.
Well, they probably like the rest.
Yeah, they probably do.
You know,
it would
be a much harder game if they, you know, but it's interesting. Although he did say, he said, apropos the game of rugby and the Wales and Australia match in particular, there's a danger of the last few minutes of any game becoming an irrelevance akin to the farcical dying minutes of an NFL encounter. And I was thinking, well, it's the opposite of that, isn't it? The NFL, they do stop the clock and the last 2 or 3 minutes is the most exciting part of the game. So he hasn't got that right. But he said sides are using all manner of delaying tactics to run down the clock. And it just goes on and on to give the examples of that. But
okay.
You think it'd be something they might look at?
Well, maybe they will. I'm sure they've weighed it up.
Now, what else have we got?
We talked about in the past, didn't we, the name Alan Neil, who was a manager. And it always struck me that, you know, ultimately the name would get him in the end after a bad run of results.
Yeah.
And then
especially if he moved to Spain.
Yeah, there would be one chairman who said, well, it's not been going, and his name is Neil. So, that's probably done for him.
That's
then.
Right, yeah.
But the flip side of that is the young golfer who won the Safeway Open this weekend, Cameron Champ.
Really?
That's great, isn't
it? That's a good name.
If you're going to try and be a top golfer, anybody in sport, really, Cameron Champ.
Perfect. What a perfect name.
You can
name.
Just come, hey, how's it going, Champ? You can do that all the time. Well done, mate. Good name.
Now, this is a fascinating statistic I read on Sunday. Star-struck Brits take time off to grieve for celebrities and are more affected by their deaths than those of their relatives.
Wow.
Nearly 1 in 20 has taken a day off when an idol died, a survey found. We have become bonkers, haven't we? It's mad.
Yeah.
You know, and 1 in 5 were more upset than when a grandparent died. Really? That's really grim, isn't it?
Yeah, it is grim.
Grim. Now, a firm in Peru is making a £200 sustainable laptop computers out of Amazon rainforest wood.
I know. Charlie Baker told us this yesterday.
Yeah, you think, surely that's defeating the object, isn't it? Can't be right.
Yeah.
Well, here you go.
I think Charlie's bought one.
Has he?
No, he hasn't. He's bringing them into the country. He's invested in a few. No, he hasn't really.
He didn't tell you about the Duke of Kent.
No, he was at the
Royal Academy of Engineering dinner last night.
Where can we? No tennis, though.
Well, he's been developing a tennis ball returning machine.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
No, there was no tennis.
The Duke of Kent obviously needs tennis in his everyday diet in some shape or form, doesn't he? Yeah.
He does, definitely. And two restaurants are vying to be the oldest restaurants in the world. One is in Italy.
Yeah.
And the other is a restaurant recommended to me by Paul Breen-Turner.
Oh, yeah.
I was visiting Madrid. It's called Botin. And
he really talked it up, didn't he?
He talked it up. Well, it is the oldest restaurant in the world. But for me, it was just boiled meat. I wasn't that keen on it.
Yeah, you gave him some right clog over that, didn't you? You never quite let him forget that he got you into the boiled meat restaurant.
No, it was good, but still, I didn't realise it was as old as it was.
Right, okay. Anything else?
Well, I don't know. Let's have a look.
Let's get down to page 3.
That was quite a rat-a-tat, really.
It was. You covered some ground. Peruvian laptops, oldest restaurants in the world.
I should have taken a bit longer. Rugby. And the story about Ross Barkley today as well, that the police had to march him to the ATM and basically make sure that he paid a taxi driver off. They have an argument about some chips that were dropped in the back of the cab. And you think, oh, what's the point? You know, you probably earn about 100 times what this bloke has. Just pay, even if you were in the right,
This one passed me by, Andy. I didn't see it, I'm afraid.
England star,
Chipgate with Ross Barkley.
Chipgate, that's what it says here. You know, I don't know, I wasn't there, but it does sound like a bit of a mad story, really. And a male, this caught my eye as well. A Mail on Sunday columnist was ruminating, you know, because the new Beatles album is out. Well, not the new Beatles, but...
Blimey, that is a shock.
That's breaking news, isn't it?
Have they got back together?
No, the reworking or remixing
isn't it the 50th, it's 50th anniversary, isn't it?
Re-released. Yeah. And she said, as Abbey Road is re-released, I have to confess I've never liked it, nor Let It Be, nor the White Album. Not liking the Beatles is, I know, very strange. And the other day, I tried to analyse why. You're an idiot.
I wasn't expecting it to go in that direction.
No, honestly, you think, what are you talking about? It's mad, isn't it? There
you go. You're an idiot.
Well, you know.
What a payoff.
Yeah, well, I think it is, really, basically. Yeah. That's what happens with people when they've got columns to fill. They write stuff like that, which makes no sense, does it, really? There's two Rita Ora non-stories for those who collect them.
Yeah, sure.
So basically, Rita arrived somewhere, she was wearing something, and then she arrived somewhere else and she was wearing something. Tremendous, isn't it?
You should be a showbiz reporter, Andy. Well, you just get to the root of it, don't you?
And it's always the headline, Frock and Aura. Rita Ora paints the French capital red. She wasn't even wearing red, really. It was more pink. As she flies in for Paris Fashion Week.
Oh, yeah.
The singer, 28, was wearing a low-cut mini dress. Who cares? To promote her new material, an Escada clothing collection. I mean, that's it, isn't it, really?
Do you have the latest in our series, I Bet He's Fun to Have a Pint With?
Oh, yeah, go on.
This is Mark Cranston, who is a former police officer, and he has a collection of over 3,500 bricks.
Bricks?
Yeah, bricks.
Really?
So there you are, you're in the pub, and former PC Cranston, he may have been, I don't know, he may have been a sergeant or whatever, but he's sitting there and he says, hello, mate.
There are that many different types. I can think of yellow bricks, you know, the London stock, and then the red brick, obviously.
What Do you want to go through all the different
other
bricks?
Brick is there?
Other bricks are available. I'm not sure there's 3,500.
I would have thought so.
But I bet he's fun to have a pint with, don't you? You'd be making a quick escape, I would imagine.
Yes, it's true. Conker trees, because it's that coming up to the that time of year when there's a conker shortage.
This is great. This isn't even an international break.
I know.
We've got champions. We've covered the Champions League football. We're now at the conkers.
It's always at this time of year that Conkers are in trouble. I don't know why they've got a great PR effort, the people at CONCACAF.
Yeah, they're very good.
They're very
it's
good.
Not CONCACAF, I think you'll find. It's nothing to do with them. No. But you're right, they do. They really talk up the World Conker Championships by saying there's a shortage. They should be doing all the PR for the X Factor.
That's very
they
true.
They might get the audience up.
Well,
it might work, because they're always good at getting a newspaper story every year, Andy, and we fall for it.
We do.
We speak to the bloke who's the Conker Supremo, because we always read the story that there won't be one this year because there's a shortage of Conkers. We get him on, and he says, oh, yeah, we may not have one. And the next time we speak to him is the day after it's happened. Oh, yeah, we found enough. We're a right pair of mugs. We fall for it every year.
Every year.
Every year we go for it. Like Simon Cowell on a jet ski.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Joining us now in the studio is a former footballer who's turned artist and very successful artist.
Very successful, yeah. After being, we worked together about 35 years ago.
Yeah, Paul Melia. Paul, good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah. So how do you and Andy, how far do you go back then?
We go back about sort of 30 years, I think. I left to art college and then sort of doing window dressing for display. And then Andy was involved in a fashion retail business, and we got involved that way. We sort of met each other, both liked football. He was obviously a Chelsea fan, I'm West Ham. And we've always watched football and always sort of spoke about it and always been through it from many years ago. So, yeah, we've always been mates all the way through it all, yeah.
And were you an artist then? Were you?
Oh, yeah, I went to art college. I don't think two things I could do is play football and basically art. And I had a bad disc problem when I was a junior, 15, 16. And at that time, that was quite a sort of serious injury, sort of bad disc. So,
yeah.
And also I wasn't the best player. I mean, basically there were so many other better players than me. So at art I was more better than the football, but I mean I still love football dearly. I missed it dearly, but so I went to art college and then sort of done some artwork in Harvey Nichols' window and then got recognised, and then sort of, you know, it just went on from there. I haven't stopped since I was like sort of 21, so I've been painting ever since then.
And fascinating work. People, because it's always hard describing art. So if you ever look, you've got a website, haven't you? Paul Melia, double Melia, but it's LLIA.com. And basically, you've done this thing, haven't you, where you get licensed to work, to use images from Disney, Marvel Comics, and you produce these massive, sort of huge versions that are kind of embellished, aren't they? I mean, the technique is very interesting.
I was really honoured to be asked by Marvel in 2005 to do some original fine art. We sold through Marvel website and sort of Hamley's department store, and you know, the early buyers have sort of done well now, and their, you know, prints were starting at £900. Those same prints now are going for £7,000. So,
wow.
You know, no social media, nothing like that, but it's all sort of word of mouth, so, which is quite a nice sort of way to be at the moment. With all the social things going on, mine's more bespoke sort of, you know, customer word of mouth. So and being dyslexic, I've never been great at doing emails anyway, so it sort of worked. It took me a long time to get where I am now, but now I'm in a big, good position, sort of helping other young artists as well just come through.
Like Andy, you championed young.
Yeah, the Zimmer frame.
Yeah, it's great that Andy's found this talent all these years. So I mean, so you've been collected by lots and lots of different people, including from the Queen to Banksy, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Banksy. I was my PR at the time a few years ago was in Brighton, and he was in the office. And so I walked in and I thought he was a pizza delivery guy. And he sort of basically wanted one of my prints. And he was a comic geek. And he said, oh, I didn't want one of his.
You didn't want one of his?
Anyway, at that time, he wasn't as well known as
he
is.
Oh, you regret that now?
But my big fate was Black the Rat. He was the first street artist, a good friend of mine. So he was the one I sort of always looked up to, whereas Banksy sort of copied a bit of him at the early stages. But yeah.
Controversial.
But no, it's good. It's good, you know.
Yeah, no, it's you know, you've got an exhibition coming up on Thursday, and you're telling us quite a few interesting people. Are you saying Glenn Hoddle's
coming? Yeah, Glenn Hoddle coming, Mitchell Thomas. We've got some of the rugby guys. We've got WAS Internationals coming. We've got Sil's going to make a little appearance. So we've got, you know, and some nice, you know, there's some dealers and sort of, you know, nice people that have actually bought my work in the previous, and then seeing some a brand new show. So there's 15 new pieces. We've sold 7 already. How we've done that, I don't know. No social media, just word of mouth, and they're all originals. It's, you know, start from 10 to 35,000. So, yeah, unbelievable how we've managed to do it. So I don't know. Well, there must be something. The gods up there looking after me.
It's quite impressive.
So pause out there. It tends to be word of mouth when you've got a certain reputation. A lot of this stuff never really needs to go on exhibition to sell.
No, well, we use as galleries, but I mean, it'd be nice. I've been working in a bank in the banking area, and we're one to one. I think they'd like to see and speak to the artist rather than see a dealer or going through a gallery. And then, you know, having that one-to-one situation with them, it's been really nice. We've done really well by doing that. And I think just that word of mouth, once someone puts a piece up on the wall and they see it, and because I don't do mass production of anything, I do limited edition or one-off originals, they've got something special, whereas, you know, a lot of the artists do more than 100, 150. So my editions are all small editions.
What about the thing you did for Mass United? That was quite interesting.
That was cool, I was asked when I was up in Manchester to donate a picture for a young girl that had cancer. So Alex Ferguson called and asked if I'd do it, and I said yes. And then I'd done it like a fuse ball, Ferdinand, Giggs, Skulls.
Yeah.
They all signed it. Alex Ferguson signed it, and all the money went to the young lady, the young girl that had cancer up in Manchester. So that was, I mean, Alex Ferguson got them back from training to come back and sign it. So that was lovely he'd done that.
I'm looking at it now, actually. Yeah, the money went to the Royal Manchester Children's Hospital, didn't it? And it's fantastic. It's kind of, as you say, like a bar football of all the stars of that time. Yeah, it's excellent. Wow.
I think it raised about sort of £70,000 for the young girl, so it's great, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's impressive.
And so what have you made of Andy's work, Paul? He's shocked us all by suddenly discovering this skill.
The doodle bits was okay, the doodly bits, but then there's a concept behind it. I mean, there is a bit of skill there.
I agree with you.
I took him to a show last week, and he thought, well, actually, maybe my head's not too bad.
I think that was a bit Premier League, that show, because the canvases were massive.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince him to do a bit of canvas. Yeah. So I've told him, looks like now I'm going to be his new agent.
It'll be good.
You did a brilliant piece of work of Seal, the singer. Of course, Seal was, when you and Andy worked together, a mate of Seal's used to work in Andy's shop. And Andy often tells us that he came in, he said, this is my mate Seal, this is his new tape. And Andy said, get that rubbish off.
I thought him actually working in the store, and one of the owners coming in and said, like, what's that guy on the ladder for? I said, no, he's working. Little to know, he's Seal.
I forgot he worked in the shop.
Seal worked in the shop as well.
I'll go over there on a Saturday, working on Saturday, King's Road. Saturday for Seal shop.
And when he didn't remember it when he came in, Seal, did he? He didn't thank you for those couple of shifts in the shop.
He did sort of remember me, I think.
I think you still owed him for a shift, I think. And Jonathan Ross has bought some of your work, I see.
Yeah, he's got a Spider-Man. He's a massive comic fan. He loves his comics. So, yeah. We've had everyone. I mean, sort of, you know, we've been sort of inundated by sort of things. Drake's now looking at buying a piece as well. So that's really nice. And it's nice that, I mean, now we're looking away from the way of superheroes. We're doing like more about the sort of superheroes, and I'm doing holograms away from the superhero stuff. So it's more about my life and about the way I, you know, in America, my mum died, George Michael's mum died at the same time, so I was there with him at the same time. So this new collection of works based upon all the music icons that I met in America. So George Michael, Prince, all those people I met in my journey. So. And I've painted that with most of those. It looks like we've sold them, so we're going to have some prints available. on the night, and then we're trying to do a show later in the year for public to come and have a go to try and.
I'll be selling mine out the back.
And yes, Andy's piggybacking off.
What about West Ham?
Yeah, I was going to say, would you like to do a bit for West Ham? Would you like that? That'd be a nice commission for you at the new place, wouldn't it?
That'd be nice. Yeah, I've done something for the Olympics. So I've done the work there for the Olympics back in the day. So, well, the new stadium is, I still miss Upton Park. I mean, the atmosphere there was incredible. So,
yeah.
I just think still, I mean, we're playing well this year. I mean, this year we're playing really well. Mm. I mean, it's been a sort of quite refreshing to see bringing some young ones through as well, which is nice. It's not going to be some of the where we bought the older players more experienced. Now we're bringing a bit of youth through, so that's been good.
Yeah. So do you get down there much? Do you get the games?
I've been a couple of games. I'm more going to Chelsea. My friends are sort of Chelsea sort of fans, so I've been basically having to go to Chelsea more than else, which is a bit sort of disturbing sometimes. I saw them with Barcelona, and that was a great game. So, yeah, I was last night watching the football with Mark Steen, Chelsea player, and Edwin Steen at his
there
house.
We are. That was this afternoon show. Thanks once again for downloading us. Gary Lineker joins us in
Manchester
the studio
United
tomorrow.
So, Arsenal game.
I'm sure he'll make the podcast.
Talking about how it was in our day compared to now, where the pitches were like basically sand, and whereas now, like bowling greens.
And
even the balls, I mean, how light and sort of flexible they are compared to the balls in our day, where they were like wet and heavy. So, I think that now, I mean, the skill level is great, but I still think in our day there was so much. They had everything, the pitches they played on, and also they've had the same 11 through the whole season, didn't pick up that many injuries. And I think now that the younger players are picking up all these injuries all the time, obviously with the pitch being synthetic and grass. I don't know if it's that, but in our day, we the Leeds and all those teams, they had the same squad of players right way through the whole season.
Yeah, they did. Brilliant. Well, Paul, lovely to meet you.
Lovely. Come in. Thanks for asking me.
Do you want to say where the exhibition is? Can people?
Exhibition is Bluebird Chelsea on Thursday, 7 till 9:30. Anyone's welcome to come down if they want to come down.
And Paul, as we said, Paul Melia, but it's two L's. It's MELLIA.com if people want to go and check out your website. It's got a bit of a biog there and lots of your different work and the different things you've done. So, good to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure. Thanks for letting me come on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show.
I'm running home barefoot.
Are you really? That's fantastic of you. That's brilliant. The fact you're running home at all is very impressive, really. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.